With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, before we give you the details on Doug's appearance later today at the Fayette County Home Show at the fairgrounds, and Jessica jumps in and we take all of your phone calls and do everything that they do, I want to remind everyone that you can join the program by dialing 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and you can even text them on the Right Automotive Line, the best deal in town. Right now, though, the 10th caller wins a $25 gift certificate from the good folks at Sorgles out in Wexford, 412-922-1020. Now, let's get started with Doug and Jess. This is your Organic Gardeners, the final Sunday in the month of April on KDKA Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Doug Oster from EverybodyGardens.com and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
It doesn't feel like May.
It does not feel anywhere near May. I feel like it's been March this entire month. Even some days of February, I feel. I'm so behind. I think everybody is. Normally the mulch pile...
everything is behind.
Oh, my God. Normally the mulch pile's off of the driveway by now. It's still there and giant.
Nine yards of mulch, and you said you cut down? Jeez.
Normally I get like 12 to 15, so this is like peanuts compared to what I usually get.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, and memories keep popping up in my Facebook feed, and like this time last year, my strawberries were in flower. They're barely up out of the ground right now, so it is really wild.
It has been a nice daffodil season, though.
A long daffodil season.
Yes, it's been a perfect daffodil season. I've been picking and picking and picking. It's just awesome. I love daffodil season. So to see that extended, that's nice. But the cold is not good.
Yeah, I'm about ready for some good spring weather. But I was thinking of you when I was out earlier this week planting my peas. And I did want to ask you, the ones that you sowed on St. Patrick's Day, have they weathered all this?
Yeah.
Crazy? Oh, but you have them in a cold frame, so that's not fair.
No. Oh. I mean, I had them for a little while. I had them under plastic, but that's been off for quite a while now.
Okay.
And they're probably 6-8 inches tall now. In fact, I've got to get some kind of support on there. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything in the garden unless it is on video.
If you can't make a movie out of it for work,
yeah,
you just
I was out last night with some people. And they're like, "Are you gardening today?" I said, "Nah, I can't. I got to wait till the videographer comes over."
In a way, it's good incentive to get stuff done, but in another way, it's sort
I don't
of
have
like,
anything cut down. I don't have my grasses cut down. I just been enjoying the daffodil blooms and it's been fantastic.
And also, I know you've been enjoying the fishing because I saw the gorgeous picture of the double rainbow that you posted.
Oh, well, this isn't a gardening story, but this is pretty freaky. You know, I was coming back from Erie and I stupidly did not look at the weather. And I said, you know, I was beat. You know, I had three
days. This was yesterday?
I don't remember what day it is. I don't even know what my name is. 3 days straight in the kayak. I took a little fishing vacation. So I get on. I said, on the way home, I don't care how tired I am. I'm going to go to this place that I love to fish, Lake Arthur. And as soon as I get on, it just starts with thunder and lightning. And I'm out in the water.
Oh.
And some guy is out in the middle of the lake with an aluminum boat.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, can't be that big. I mean, he must know. And I tried to look at my phone. I couldn't get it. Well, then there was a crack of lightning, and I was like, I paddled
so
fast. Yeah, it was like 30 miles an hour, and I just sat in the woods for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I came out, I was like backing my kayak out, and I turned around, and there was this double rainbow, like the most spectacular double rainbow you ever saw in your life. And I was like, that guy was still out in his aluminum boat in the middle of the lake. I don't even know if he saw it. It's just like, you know, when that is right in front of you, you know, it's just a miracle. It's just, it was so amazing. And so, you know, nowadays when you have your phone, you know, it's just
A real miracle was Sparky in the aluminum boat. He lucky he survived.
That was scary and stupid on my part.
He didn't even attempt to move, like get off the water when the lightning happened. I mean, No.
He just stayed right out in the middle of the lake, and he had just got there. He had just like just got there, and I was just like, you know, I was scared.
Wow.
Scarred.
I was scarred.
Listen, I was doing some scouting for you the other day. You need to go to Brady's Run Park and go take the kayak out. I was there the other day. Just throw through on point of just for you. Because, you know, you haven't seen it in a while, and you're thinking, is it really going to be conducive for what Doug, you'll love it.
And that place has really good wildflowers, too. Mm-hmm. You got to find them, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really nice.
I saw a guy yesterday with some very expensive camera, like up close and personal, and some kind of flower taking a picture. And I said, man, Doug and Jess really has a huge audience. I don't even know where I was. I thought, but to take some time out of your day to be taking pictures of flowers, that's what you call someone who appreciates Mother Nature.
That's half my day. What do you mean? That's that's all we do, you know?
I appreciate what you do.
I've got these little itty bitty, I don't know what they are. They look like miniature, super miniature. I mean, an inch tall flowers. They look like daffodils. I don't know what I planted.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take a picture
tall.
Of it.
An inch tall.
Each flower is about an inch. No, half an inch. Each, and it looks like a little itty-bitty
daffodil.
The whole
daffodil. Plant or just the
There's
flower?
There's like 10 little flowers that are about a half an inch big.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what what I planted.
Fayette County before I forget.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We do have to talk about what I'm doing today.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. We're on air? Okay.
I was talking about my lightning experience. I'll be at the Fayette County Home Show today at 2 p.m. talking gardening and giving away free seeds courtesy of John Sheeper's Kitchen Garden Seeds. Boy, last year I had quite a crowd down there. So come on out. It's at the Fayette County Fairgrounds, 2 o'clock today. And the John Sheeper seeds I have are these collections of direct sow seeds. You know, some of them are flowers, some of them are root crops. It's a really nice collection of seeds, so I'll be out there. When we come back, though, Jess, I got to tell you about this amazing collection of daffodils that I saw down in Washington County. It's something you should see. It's something that everybody should see. I was blown away by it.
Hey, congratulations to Rich of Pittsburgh, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles. We've got one from Janoski's to give away within 20 minutes. And your phone calls and text messages and also Dollar Bank instant access messages just a few moments away. This is the Organic Gardeners on KDK Radio. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDK.
We are here, and it's time to go to work on the phone lines with Doug and Jess, the Organic Gardeners, KDK Radio. Let's head up to Mount Washington and say good morning to Sue. Hey, Sue, welcome to KDK Radio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I planted some mint a couple years ago in a bed, and I want to rotate my vegetables, so I want to go back to that bed, and I know you don't till anymore. However, the mint became very invasive.
Really?
So I didn't know whether to till it now, to get it out.
And
No.
Okay.
Nope. Do not till it, because those underground roots, man, you chop them up into little bits and you're going to have a million more plants. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's a raised bed, you said?
No, it was a bed I used previously for vegetables and whatnot. Then I planted some perennials and I did put herbs like in the very front of the bed. But I need to rotate it because that's my sunniest bed that I have. So, I have the mint going everywhere. So what's your suggestion?
Yeah, how are we going to kill that mint?
I would dig it out as best as you can. I would dig it out. And I would try to get underneath it. It almost, if you use a flat bladed spade, it almost will come up like a sheet in a big mm-hmm. kind of carpet like fashion. So I would get mm-hmm. out as much as you can that
There's way. There's going to be some left. Keep after it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cut the tops down. And then I would definitely do the 10 sheets thick of newspaper
mm-hmm.
If you're growing vegetables, I would do compost or mm-hmm. Straw actually would be a great, like maybe 3 inches of straw, 2-3 inches of straw on top of that newspaper. And then mm-hmm. when you plant, you know, you're going to plant a tomato plant or something, just scooch aside the mulch, cut an X through the newspaper and plant right through. And then every year, every spring, put a new layer of mulch on top and a new layer of newspaper underneath
mm-hmm.
it. And that will eventually bury those roots so deep that they will not sprout anymore.
All right, let's say hi to Mike and Swickley on KDK Radio with Doug and Jess. Hey, Mike.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about a dogwood, and I have a real tiny Jessica question right after this. About the dogwood, is there anything I can do outside of watering it? Is there any kind of tree food or anything like that that I can help it along? I mean, the tree's doing good. There's nothing wrong with it, but I'd like to just keep it going.
Yeah, Hollytone is what we use for a dogwood.
Hollytone.
Yeah, but if it's doing good.
Is that like fertilizer? Or?
Yeah, it's an organic granular fertilizer. Been around forever. It's a great one, actually.
Okay. And what was the? Is it granular or liquid or what?
Yeah, it's granular. What was the second question?
Oh, the second question was real tiny, because Jessica's a bug expert. In our just off our bedroom, we have a small like powder room, and in the shower, this happens. We'll see them like maybe once a week, maybe even longer. Little black fleas. They're jet black, and they have little wings on them. They're very, very, very small. Any idea what they are or how to get rid of them?
Yeah, do they have kind of like big wings on them?
Yeah, the wings are, the appearance is the wings are bigger than the body almost.
Yep, that's
actually jet black.
Yeah, that's actually a type of fly that, this is gross, but it lives in the black goop that's inside of your like catch, your trap of your sink or your bathtub trap.
Great breakfast. Well,
really,
talk.
We just remodeled the bathroom. We have a new sink and a new toilet.
Yeah, so that probably stirred them up a little bit, so to speak. And it's a drain fly, and they can live in the inside of the drain trap like that. You'll actually at the Penn State Cooperative Extension has quite a bit of information about those. I think they call them sewer flies or drain flies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would just do a little.
I may see them, if I take a shower, I may see them once a week, maybe even longer.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like one here, one there. It's not a lot. It just, I don't want them.
Right, so and they don't hurt anything. They're not going to, you know, damage your pipes or anything like that. So they're a little bit more of a nuisance, but there are some things you can do as far as like putting bleach down the drain and letting it sit in the trap for a while, stuff like that. So I would just get online and look up the Penn State source information for that and see what you can do about it.
I wanted to tell you about this place that I visited down in Washington, and it's called Joe Ham's Daffodil Hortus.
Mm.
It's a collection of 2,000 different varieties of daffodils. It is open to the public.
Wow.
And it is a magical place. I can't say anything else than that. Joe Ham started with daffodils in 98, you know, so recently, since he's 80 years old. Lost his legs in a medical crisis.
Oh, my goodness.
And his sister has come there and a neighbor, and the three of them work together to make sure that these daffodils continue. They inspect the daffodil, make sure that it's the right variety. Sometimes, you know, it's not always the right thing. And I if you go to Everybody Gardens, you can see the story. I was just blown away by this place and that it's open to the public. You know, it's out basically in the middle of nowhere in Washington County, and he 2, wants...
2,000 varieties?
Yeah. Actually, our friend Brent Heath went down there and visited when he was in town, and he told me, he says, I saw a lot of old friends there.
Aw.
Looking at the flowers.
Yeah.
It's beyond belief. I mean, I just had to stop myself from taking pictures. I could have spent all day there, and then this relationship that the three of them have is unbelievable. It's just really beautiful that his sister came back, you know, during this medical crisis, and she knew that daffodils were something he liked, and she loved him he would give her bulbs, but she had no idea of the depth of this project of mm-hmm. trying to preserve all these daffodils. He started with collecting ones from 1938, the year that he was born. Then he started collecting things from 38 and before, and now it's expanded to also collecting things of that hybridizers have made, 400 mm-hmm. different hybridizers. He's collected their stuff. It's unbelievable. I mean, the fields are just in their peak right now.
What a passion.
Oh, that's when you meet somebody like that, it's just amazing. And he's just spending all day, you know, answering emails from people like, can you tell me what this is? You know what I mean? Just sending
IDing different varieties.
He was laughing. He just said, they just send me pictures of dead flowers. You can't tell anything from a dead flower.
All right, let's rip through a couple of these Dollar Bank instant access messages before the bottom of the hour. All right, grassy yard. I want more grass than weeds. How do we get our grassy yard back?
Well, we always tell them, Jess, get that soil test from the Penn State Cooperative Extension. That will tell you what the pH is and the fertility. And when you get the pH and the fertility right, grass will outgrow anything.
In almost every situation, lawn weed issues are go down to the root. They go down to the soil, the health of your soil, the compaction. We have very clay-based soils here, and so the soils get very compacted, especially if it's a high-traffic lawn. So aerating every few years in the fall and making sure it's healthy, overseeding the lawn every couple of years, that should happen as well.
And looking at my lawn, I have a question for you. What should people do about their purple violets?
Let your purple violets alone. They are the only food source for fritillary butterfly caterpillars, and the flowers are edible.
All right, we'll get to more of those dollar bank instant access messages, some text messages on the Wright Automotive Line, the best deal in town. And we've got a wide open phone bank, so if you want to talk to Doug and Jess, please give us a call, 866-391-1020.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDK.
All right, before we get back to the phones, I want to remind everyone that you can join us, but right now you might get a busy signal, so you can still join us via Dollar Bank Instant Access. We're going to get some of those in just a moment. And by the way, we're going to take the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020 to win a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's. 10th caller right now wins it. All right, Dollar Bank Instant Access uncovered fig trees and found mold growing on the stems. Also, rhubarb coming up but beginning to bolt already. Thoughts?
Well, let's start with the figs. We wanted to talk about figs anyway. I unwrapped mine, and everything above ground was dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I'm hoping it sprouts from the bottom.
Yeah, Chicago, it probably will.
It's Chicago hardy. But that was, again, I do not do anything unless it's on video. So, yeah.
And I think for theirs, with mold on it, I mean, I really wouldn't worry about it. I think now that it's unwrapped and getting good air circulation around it, it's going to be just fine. You might get some tip dye back on it. You know, if you have a spot of mold in that particular section above, might, not sprout any greens, in which case just trim that portion off of the plant. But I think once it's out and exposed and the air circulating real good, I think that'll clear up without a problem.
And how about the rhubarb that it's already going to
just
flower?
Cut the flower stalk off. Sometimes that happens to me too. The rhubarb does beautifully, and it's 6 weeks of production before it starts to produce a flower stalk, and sometimes it flowers right away. So, but no matter when it happens, just cut that flower stalk off, and you can still harvest the petioles or the leaf stems as you normally do.
Well, on the Doug Oster news line, I just got a text.
You're getting personal garden question texts? All right.
From Bill Z in the North Hills, and he's got a picture. This is awesome. I harden off my transplants in the bed of a 95 S10 Chevy in the garage under a timed grow light out for short periods. He just pulls the truck out for short periods.
Smart.
Sometime this week into my cold frame with a timed heat cable, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, and they're just about acclimated already to the outdoors. So there's how you can harden off your plants, Jess.
In the bed of a truck. That's actually very clever. Drive it
in and
out of
that. That would be perfect for me. You know, I've got 100 flats in the greenhouse. I put them in the back of the truck and just back it out.
But you can't drive anywhere, though, in that truck.
Yeah, that's why it's an old S10, you know?
Right. Just maybe he even has to push it out of the garage.
I'll put mine in the truck, and then I'll just drive the Mustang.
There you go.
And I won't drive the truck.
There you go.
Joe and Swickley, our winner of that gift certificate from Janoski's. Let's go to Moon Township and say good morning to Susie on KDK Radio. Hey, Susie, how are you?
Good morning. I also have a fig tree question.
Okay.
So my fig tree is planted, and it doesn't look great, but my question is that it is planted in a mulch bed, and the mulch is just generic black mulch that we got from a gardening store, not in a bag, but loose. And I don't know if I can eat the fruit now. What do you think?
It sounds like she's worried about there might be dye in the mulch or something like that.
No, sorry. I'm concerned about the pests. I don't know what's in the mulch, like chemical-wise, if that will be in the fruit, and if I should be concerned about eating the fruit.
Gotcha. Okay, so the only time I would be really concerned about that, if it was like a rubber mulch, like when they make them out of shredded tires and stuff, which is the worst. It's awful, awful, awful stuff, and I never want anybody to use it ever.
Our first gardening question ever on the show.
Our first one on the show was about rubberized mulch. It's a terrible idea. If it is regular shredded bark mulch, it is fine. I wouldn't really worry about it. I do try to be a little bit more careful and selective about where I get my mulch from and make sure it's a good quality landscape supply company and that they're not using, you know, some of those mulches that you buy at like the gas station in the bags. Sometimes those are made of shredded construction debris, and so it can be treated lumber, or maybe it might contain...
No wonder they're so cheap.
You know, leaded paint or something like that. So I would definitely skip those types of mulches and go with one that's sold by a good quality nursery, and that way you know that it is a safe product. But in this case, it sounds like it's a regular shredded bark mulch that came by bulk, and I think that would be fine on your fig tree.
All right, having a hard time starting beets, can you give me some advice? That's a text message from the Wright Automotive text line, the best deal in town.
Well, I wonder if they're outside or inside, but probably direct sow, I would guess. I don't know.
Yeah, beets are usually super easy to grow. I would check the age of the seed packet and try to have fresh seeds that you're planting, because once they're a couple of years old, their germination rate really does drop.
The thing about beets that I, you know, never knew until maybe 10 years ago is that you can start them in just flats. And I like to start them that way because they get thinned better that way. They, you know, there's always, what do you call that when it has more than one?
Yeah, each one has, yeah, each has like seed three. Has multiple, it's called a multi-germ. So it has multiple seeds per seed, or multiple embryos per seed. So from each seed, you'll actually get 3 to 5 beet plants sprouting. And so that's why you always have to thin beets.
What are your favorite beets?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love the golden beets are my favorite. Mm-hmm. I love Red Ace is my favorite red beet. The Kyogo, which is the candy stripe beet, which is the pink and white concentric rings. I
sometimes
that
pronounced Chioggia.
Yeah.
Everybody says it differently.
Everybody says it differently. I heard Kyogo from the folks at Organic Gardening Magazine years ago, but I don't even know that
I never heard it. I just looked at the letters
look
and said Chioggia.
Right. Yeah. Look at the spelling. But the beets are typically, so I would definitely check the freshness of the seed, only about a quarter to a half inch deep. Don't go any deeper than that, which could restrict the germination as well. I sowed some this week, and I will continue to sow beet seeds every 2 weeks through, gosh, the end of July.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to finish the program with a bunch of phone calls. We'll try to get some more Dollar Bank instant access messages is on as well. And if you feel the need to text us, you could do that at 866-391-1020.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
For Mrs. Know-It-All, she's a grower, horticulturist, and our own garden goddess. Denise Schreiber, how are you this morning, Denise?
Good. I'm done with this weather. I'm just done.
I heard that from you about 3 weeks ago.
I'm still done. So before I forget, though, you know, it's supposed to clear out. Right now it's cloudy, but it's supposed to clear out today. And it looks like we're going to have a clear night and really low temperature. So there's a really good chance we're going to have a frost. So if you have, you know, maybe a small tree that's just getting ready to leaf out, or you've got some blossoms, if it's a decent size, you can go out and cover it with some old sheets or burlap or whatever you have. No plastic. If you want to see it tomorrow. And then I think they're going to actually let us have some warm temperatures for a few days.
Won't that be nice?
And Bill Z, pull your truck into the garage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anything,
oh, yeah.
Any
definitely
annuals you
pull
have.
It in
yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah. If you have your tomato plants out hardening off and stuff, this is definitely the kind of night when you want to make sure they're indoors and nice and cozy. So thank you so much, as always, Denise. That is great. A great reminder that it's not May 15th yet, so we got a little while to go.
Mm hmm.
All right, Fayette County Home Show, please.
That's right. Today, 2 o'clock, I'll be at the Fayette County Home Show, at the Fayette County Fairgrounds, giving away seeds and a little talk all about spring gardening. We're going to have a lot of fun down there. I said last year we had a great crowd, so come early.
All right, where do you want to go? Phones, texts?
Let's go to the phones.
Okay, let's go to Pat and Butler. Pat, how you doing?
Good morning. I love the show. Thank you so much for it.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One is... what is the best time to split or thin rhubarb?
Right now is a great time to do it. When it just starts to break the surface of the soil, dig that clump up, chop it into pieces, and replant it. The other option is in the fall, very late in the season. You could do it then as well if you don't have time to get to it this spring.
Okay, and my other question is, I have a hydrangea, which it's an interesting story. It was given to me as part of a dish garden. So it was very small, and my sisters gave it to me as a the whole thing as a gift when I was going through a tough time. So it's kind of precious to me. And from that little plant in a dish garden, it is now probably four something feet tall and very, very wide. And it used to bloom, but now that we keep getting these cold snaps, it's too big to cover, and then whatever was going to bloom on it doesn't. I don't know if I can cut it back safely or if there's some way to cover something when it's that large.
Well, it depends on what type of hydrangea it was. If it was the big traditional pink and blue giant balls of flowers on there, that type of hydrangea blooms on old wood. So you definitely do not want to cut off what looks like brown dead stalks right now, because they could be holding the flower buds for this year. So
it is that type.
It is that type.
I never cut the
good.
Old wood.
Don't ever prune those. Now, I know, Doug, you do the protective barrier.
Yeah, what I'm doing to try to get mine to bloom is I'm putting like four tomato stakes around it, and then I'm putting burlap around it, but not on the top of it, just to protect it from those harsh winter winds, basically. You know, a lot of times what happens is the buds swell during a thaw, and then it gets really cold, and especially with the wind, they freeze out. And I've had better luck, but, you know, that's the number
one. That's what I did when it was smaller. But now it's like I can hardly reach across the top of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that protective barrier.
But you could surround it. I mean, you don't have to get to the. You don't have to get all the way to the top.
Right.
You could surround it with those tomato stakes and run the burlap around the outside of it. Would help, especially for a special plant like that.
Okay, that's what I'll try then.
All right, thank you.
All right, let's go to Gene in the North Hills. Hey, Gene, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. Love your program.
Thank you.
I have a very bad deer problem, and I want to plant three more butterfly bushes. I've had one for the last 2 years that the deer haven't bothered, but my pansies that I got at Hans when you gave away the cyclamen plant, I opened the door yesterday morning, and he had eaten the whole bunch of flowers off of the one basket of.
Yeah.
Yeah, pansies are edible for us and deer.
Right, I'm interested in getting the butterfly bushes, and the last 2 years they haven't bothered. Do they bother butterfly bushes?
Do they at your garden?
No, they don't. But that's usually a plant that's considered to be fairly deer-resistant, and there are a lot of great deer-resistant plants out there, and that's why I would encourage you when you go shopping at Hawn or whatever local nursery.
I did get some yarrow, and I know they don't like that.
Yep, they don't like that. So a good quality nursery will be able to talk to you about what's typically deer-resistant in our area. I also love all of the salvias or perennial sages. Those are a good choice. Nepeta, which is also called catmint, that's a really good one as well. So my whole front yard is plagued by deer, and everything that I choose out there, I choose because it is deer resistant.
There's a salvia I just saw at Phipps called Patio Deep Blue.
Ooh, that sounds lovely.
What is it? I'm sorry.
It's called Patio Deep Blue, and the flowers are just a beautiful shade of blue. I wouldn't say sky blue, but it's not dark blue. It's, I don't know what it is.
Just lovely. All the salvias are great, and they have that fragranced foliage that the deer typically don't like to eat. They're very well behaved in the garden, very long blooming, just an excellent choice for whether you have deer in your garden or not. It's just a great choice.
Very good. Because I had seven of them in my backyard the other night, and they come through. I'm on a main road. It's amazing.
Gotcha.
I
definitely feel your pain. So thanks so much for your call this morning.
All right, Jim in Mars, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Hi, good morning. I have a question on knockout roses. What's the best type of fertilizer, granular or liquid, and what would you recommend in the way of a product?
I give the old arm pump when you said knockout roses, because I love those things. They are just an organic gardener's dream, because they don't require you to use all those nasty fungicides and all that kind of stuff. They're so low maintenance and easy to take care of. But definitely, as far as fertilizers go, Doug and I always recommend a brand called Rose Tone, which is from the Espoma company. It's formulated specifically for roses. It is a granular product. I use it about every 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, I put it out about once a month.
You do about once a month. Yeah,
just
and it doesn't
lightly.
Take much.
Yep.
Yeah, doesn't take much, and you just sprinkle it around. And it encourages more blooms, and those knockouts already bloom so beautifully. So that in combination with the rose tone, and you'll be hooked up in flowers all summer.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right, here's Dave in Bradford Woods. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I had a soil test done on my vegetable garden through the Penn State Extension. I got the results and two questions. The first, the results showed that it was very high in potassium and phosphorus. And I'm wondering if there's anything I can do about that.
I wouldn't know. I mean, it's not like you can take it out of the soil or anything like that. And those are two plant nutrients that even when they are in excess, they don't have exceedingly detrimental effects on your plants. And in most cases, especially with the phosphorus, it will eventually leach out of the soil. What I would be careful to do is not apply more of it. I think the most important thing that those soil tests will tell you, the most critical number, is that pH. Do you happen to recall what pH was when you got the results back, what the pH was?
Yes, it was 7.3.
Mm. 7.3. Okay, so you're actually on the alkaline side, which is pretty unusual for soils here in western Pennsylvania. So did they make any suggestions for a way to acidify that soil back down to that 6.5 target?
No, they didn't. They on the graph, the pH actually showed up in what they consider the optimum range.
The optimum range, okay, for a vegetable garden. So, yeah, normally 6.5 is that target number. We tend to be here in western Pennsylvania like 5.2, 5.5.
Would you consider 7.3 optimum? I wouldn't.
I definitely wouldn't either, but I think having it alkaline like that is a little better than having it far too acidic, which will affect the availability of phosphorus and some things like that. But that higher side, that slightly alkaline side, is better than being far too acidic. So I wouldn't worry about remediating in any way or trying to get rid of that phosphorus or potassium. I just wouldn't add any more to the garden.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, they're here every week, your organic gardeners, from 7 in the morning until 8. Don't forget Fayette County Fairgrounds later today. Doug Oster is going to be down there, so go down and say hi to him. In the meantime, get ready for the latest CBS radio news in New York, and then it'll be another edition of the Coons Cooking Hour, and today it's all about your favorite mushroom recipes.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.